Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
When we refuse to speak the truth, when we have got the one remedy for sin, when we have got the one solution, the one answer to that which is destroying people's lives, and when we intentionally keep silent, that's a sad, sad, sad state of affairs. We don't preach the wrath and the judgment of God because it makes us feel good to tell people that they're sinners and all of that. We talk about it because it's a truth.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian is continuing his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, in a message titled, Suppressing the Truth in Unrighteousness. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
You've actually violated this law. I can stand up here and say, well, I've never physically committed adultery. But Jesus said, if you've thought about it, desired it, then you've committed adultery. So the point is simply this. Again, as Paul lays it out here, it becomes obvious that everyone is under the sentence of condemnation. The wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness, all unrighteousness. Who does that encompass? It encompasses everybody. But he goes a little bit further in his explanation, and this is what he says. Notice, he says, those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now, see, this is the thing. We live in the age of victimization. And even in the church, this mentality has crept in where oftentimes we're seeing ourselves as more victims than culprits. We're seeing ourselves as not, necessarily, actively sinners, but sort of, passively maybe, having sin come against us. But that's an inaccurate, psychologically oriented or influenced way of thinking. And it's probably one of the most damaging things to the health of the church today. Because instead of people recognizing that they're sinners and rebels against God, they're sort of seeing themselves as, well, I'm just a victim of sin. Poor me, I just sin just comes on and just beats me up all the time and takes control of me, and I hurt people and I lash out and I steal and I do all these things. But gee, I didn't mean to do that. It was sin that just took hold of me and carried me off, and I'm a victim. No, that's not it. That's the psychological picture, but it's not the biblical picture. The biblical picture is that I'm actively engaged in sin. I am a sinner. I am, by my very constitution, a rebel against God's authority. This is not a popular message. You can see why a lot of people don't preach it today. They're afraid nobody will come back to church. But look what it says. It says that men suppress the truth. What does that mean? It means that man lives in sin knowingly. He knows what he's doing is wrong, and he is trying to hold that down. Thomas Huxley said this, and it was in reference to his embracing and promotion of evolutionary theory, but it illustrates this. This is what he said. He said, we didn't embrace evolution because it seemed scientifically viable. We embraced it because it gave us freedom to live the way we wanted to live. You see, even the atheist who says there is no God, he has to push this down, suppress it, get this feeling of guilt or conviction or uncomfortableness, get this away from me. So this is what man does. He knows the truth, but he suppresses it. And this starts at a very young age. Now, there is a time in life, of course, where we are not knowingly, actively sinning or not suppressing the truth to the extent that we might, you know, later on. But all of us, I think, it's a universal experience. All of us know that there comes a time when we go against what we know is the thing we shouldn't be doing. And how do we do that? How do we step over that line? We've got to push that down somehow. We got to get it out of our head. We got to shake that off of us and force ourselves to cross over that line. I remember vividly moving from sort of, you know, in my youth, sort of passively sinning to actively sinning. I remember vividly crossing the line. Now, remember this. We haven't talked about it, but of course it's been talked about many times from the pulpit over the years. Remember the distinction between sin and transgression. Sin, the word means to miss the mark. So you might even be trying to hit the mark, but you're just a bad shot. So that's what sin is. Sin is to miss the mark. Transgression is a different thing. Transgression is a willful violation. Transgression is crossing over the line intentionally, knowingly. Now, we are both sinners and transgressors. But there comes a point in our lives where we intentionally step across the line, where we transgress. And I know from experience, and you know from experience, that it was a difficult thing to cross that line at first, wasn't it? There was trepidation, there was anxiety, there was a lot of thought about, you know, what this might mean or what the ramifications might be, or, you know, what if I get caught, or what's this going to do? And what did we do? As all of that came our way, we successfully, through a process, we kept pushing it down. What is that? That's exactly what Paul's saying here. Suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. When I came to that point in my adolescent period of life where I sort of launched into more of an active, sinful lifestyle, I remember, like I said, vividly the battle that took place in my own soul to cross over that line. I remember my heart was beating and I was weighing out all of the different possible scenarios that would result from this action. And it was difficult. You know, and it was like that kind of a thing where, you know, there's an angel on one shoulder whispering in one ear and a demon on the other shoulder. And it was that kind of thing where you're just torn. Should I do it? No, you shouldn't do it. Oh, but what? No. You know, and you're just, and I remember that so clearly. And in the particular case that I'm thinking back on, it even took some time because the invitation into that sin kept coming to me and I resisted. No, thanks. I don't want to do that. No, that's not for me. No, I don't want to do it. But then each time there was sort of a, you know, breaking down of my resistance, and on my own part, there was that suppressing of the truth till finally I got to the point of saying, okay, I'm ready to do it. I'm going to cross the line. And I did. I crossed the line into transgression.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you to visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com. You can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now let's continue with today's message.
But in order to do it, I had to suppress the truth. I had to push all of this back. That was there innately within me, telling me, don't do it. It's wrong. It's not right. You don't want to go down this road. Now, here's the thing that happens, though. The more we suppress the truth, the easier it becomes to do. Can you remember back on the first time when you really sinned, knowingly, willfully crossed over that line, the struggle that you had? But do you remember the second time the struggle wasn't quite as intense, was it? And then the third time, it got even a little bit easier. And then the sixth or seventh time, it was just, you know, it was pretty easy to do it. And then you might have even gotten to a point where it no longer even fazed you. This is what happens. This is what happens to people in sin. This is why people live lives that are dominated by sin, but they won't recognize it as sin. They will say, no, no, this is just the way I am. This is how I am naturally. No, this is how you've become, by suppressing the truth. But go back far enough and you'll remember the first time you moved in that direction. No, there was resistance there. But now it's become second nature. Now you just do it. What's happened there? Well, the Bible talks about this process. In suppressing the truth, sin becomes easier, and we go to a place where the heart begins to get harder and harder, and eventually you can come to a place where Paul describes it as having a conscience that is seared with a hot iron, where you can just sin without any sense of wrongdoing or guilt or anything like that at all. You've become so accustomed to sin. Conscience seared with a hot iron. Paul also describes it as being past feeling. And then he also adds without natural affection. These are all of the places that a person can go to through suppressing the truth. And that's exactly where we see that people did go in Paul's day and back before Paul's time. And this is where we see that people are going today. And it's all rooted in this suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. Now, we're not going to go into verses 19 and 20 tonight because I want to take those separately next week. But just, you know, just a quick glance at them because it's following through with the thought. Who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, listen, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and divine nature, so that they are without excuse. You see, here Paul tells us exactly what this suppressing of the truth that he's talking about looks like. It's resisting that conscience that God has placed in every one of us that is actually it's a result of the law being originally put in the heart of mankind. It's about resisting that. It's about refusing to look at the created world around us and acknowledge that there's a creator. That's suppressing the truth and unrighteousness, man. And if there was ever a generation of people that are doing that, I think our generation would qualify. So, what does all of this bring us to? It brings us back to the same point. The gospel is absolutely essential if we are going to have any hope of being saved or delivered from the wrath of God. No man will escape the judgment of God apart from the gospel. That's what Paul is saying. Because all are suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. All men are ungodly. All men are unrighteous. You remember Jesus said it like this. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He that believes in him is not condemned, but he that does not believe in him is condemned already. condemned already. That's the condition of the human race. The human race is condemned already. Some people say, well, a friend of mine was out doing some evangelism, and he came across this group of young people, and they were, you know, kind of sarcastic and obnoxious, and they were smoking dope and just, you know, and one of the guys, he's smoking the joint, and he looks at me and goes, am I going to go to hell for this? My friend says, well, you're going to go to hell for a lot more than that, but that might contribute to it a little bit. But you know, that's the point is that's what we kind of tend to do. You know, we narrow it down to this. Well, okay, is God going to put me in hell because of this? People say, whatever that this is, you're condemned already. You're condemned already because of your ungodliness, because of your unrighteousness, because you've suppressed your entire life, the truth, in unrighteousness. That's the condemnation. Light has come into the world, Jesus goes on to say. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness. Oh, that's one that we don't espouse today, is it, in the church? Again, we got the victim mentality. Poor people beat up by the devil out there. The Bible says, no, they love darkness. They love it. That's why they don't come to the light. But again, the good news in all of this is the gospel. This is the good news. It's good news because it tells me that even though I am ungodly, even though I am unrighteous, even though I have suppressed the truth in unrighteousness, God has made a way to forgive me and to wipe those sins away and to receive me and make me his child and give me a place in his kingdom forever. So, you see why we need the righteousness of Christ. This is what Paul is doing. Like I said earlier, it's not enough to tell a man he's a sinner. You got to convince him. And when he sees that there is no way out, there's no argument that he can bring forth that's going to convince the judge to go easy on him. When he sees that he's completely shut up to judgment, this is when a person then cries out for mercy. And of course, God is right there to meet them in his mercy. And so were it not for the gospel, all of us would be doomed. All of us would be doomed. But like I said, the probably the most unfortunate thing that's happened in the modern era, and you know, even today, is a reluctance on the part of the church to bring this message forth. The reluctance in churches to talk about the reality of the wrath and the judgment of God. This has been a cause for proliferation of sin in the church. And a lot of people, I think, who have sort of a false sense of security, thinking they're saved, but never have even come to grips with the fact that they really are sinners and guilty before God. Tonight, Brenton said to me back, you know, about, he said, oh, great, I can do, you know, I can do that song tonight, the one that he did during the communion when we were passing out the bread. Jesus, you are worthy. Jesus, you are, you know, Jesus, you are justice. And that is who you are. You know, you died so you could save me, rose so you could raise me. And what he was saying to me is that song has been banned at certain churches that he's played at. Now, don't sing that song. That's got too much, you know, that substitutionary thing, Jesus dying for us and all that. You know, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to scare anybody away. God help us. God help us when the church gets to that place. when the church, the only institution in the world that has the truth, when we refuse to speak the truth, when we have got the one remedy for sin, when we have got the one solution, the one answer to that which is destroying people's lives, and when we intentionally keep silent, that's a sad, sad, sad state of affairs. We don't preach the wrath and the judgment of God because it makes us feel good to tell people that they're sinners and all of that. We talk about it because it's a truth. And it's that truth that will wake a man up and turn him around and bring him to salvation. I remember, I'll close with this. I remember talking to a guy years ago who was starting a new church in town, and he was going to have one of those churches, you know, that was positive, and they were never going to talk about negative things, and you know, you could be guaranteed to come to the church and you'd never hear about sin, never hear about judgment, hell, any of that kind of stuff. We're just going to talk about love and tell you some nice formulas and programs to apply to your life to live a better life, and you know, God loves us all. And so I said, well, what is the purpose of that? And this is what he said. He said, well, you know, I don't want to scare people away. We want to get people to come in. And you know, we want to break that to them gently and slowly, and you know, they're not ready for that yet. It's this whole philosophy, it's a little bit passé now, but it's a philosophy that basically says you take unchurched people, which are actually unsaved people, you take unchurched people, you turn them into church people, and then hopefully somewhere down the road they become saved people. But you got to get them from unchurched to church, and in order to keep them in church, you got to just, you know, you got to be nice and just talk about pleasant things. You don't want to scare anybody off. And eventually, through a long process, they're going to, you know, somehow finally get to the realization that they need Christ. So that's what he told me. And I said, well, but what about the guy who just comes to your church that one time and needs Christ and is looking for an answer and looking for salvation, and before he can get back next week, he gets killed in a car accident? What about that guy? That happens. People have come, but there's been no message. And then they've never had another opportunity. So it's our responsibility, those who are ministers of the gospel, to make sure that we are presenting the whole counsel of God. And then in the end, we have to trust God for the outcome of that. If people get offended and leave, that's, you know, if I'm offending people because I'm rude and obnoxious, that's one thing. But if the gospel is offending people, then so be it. It will offend. But thank God for the gospel. Remember, it reveals to us that righteousness that God will accept, that righteousness that is free to all who ask for it, that righteousness that is required for eternal life, that righteousness that is by faith in Jesus Christ. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven, but the righteous by faith shall live. So the wrath is coming, but we can escape the wrath. Flee the wrath to come. We can escape it by coming under the shelter of the cross, the blood of Jesus.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Brodersen. I'd like to remind you that you can get today's message and any additional resource designed to encourage you in your walk with the Lord at our website, backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter at @BackTOBRadio or like us on our Facebook page. We enjoy hearing from you. We would also like to send you a gift for supporting Back to Basics. Our gift for this month for a donation of any size is a book written by Manny Mill titled Radical Prayer, The Power of Being Bold and Persistent. Whether your prayer life is strong or in shambles, radical prayer will compel you to a life of bold, persistent, transformative, and expectant prayer. The details for obtaining this month's book and all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.